If you were writing your dream autobiography, what might the title be? My life as a multimillionaire. My life as quarterback for the Colts. Or my life as the president. I have no doubt that many of us here are going to accomplish things that we're very proud of, and because of that, we could have a very interestingly titled autobiography. But I look at James chapter 4 and verses 13 through 17, and I learn that every single one of us could have the exact same biography. In James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." The fact is, every single one of us could have an autobiography entitled, "My Life as a Vanishing Vapor." That is exactly what our life is. We're a mist, a fleeting mist, a vapor, a vanishing vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. I remember a young lady that I went to high school with at age 15. She died in a car wreck. Or I think about my mom, who at age 35 died unexpectedly because a doctor didn't do his job right when my brother was being born. Or my dad, who at age 49 thought he had gallstones, found out it was pancreatic cancer, and 5 months later, he had died. Or my father-in-law, who, when he was a teenager, spent 2 summers around asbestos, and 40 years later, out of nowhere, has asbestos-induced mesothelioma and dies within 6 months. Or my good friend Jimmy Hickman in his 60s. Deacon, barbershop quartet singer, song leader, starts a cough that he just can't shake, and he eventually goes to the doctor and finds out that he's got inoperable cancer. And a couple months later, he dies. And we've had a reminder this week. I wrote this sermon Thursday and Friday. And of course, yesterday, heard about our brother Gary Baum, 43 years old. Our life is a vanishing vapor. It is a fleeting mist. We have no idea what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 say, "Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared in an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." Most people have no idea that they're about to die. It comes suddenly. But what James demonstrates to us is not just a piece of information. It's not just the fact that our life is a fleeting vapor. It's the fact that knowing this ought to change our life today. The fact that we may not be here tomorrow needs to change our lives today in a very practical way. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, it teaches us at least 5 things that need to change in our life. Things that we need to do today because our life is a vanishing vapor. I'd like for us to spend some time tonight talking about that. What should my life look like? What should your life look like? Because we are vanishing vapors. Before we look at this, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are our great God, the sovereign ruler of the universe. It's by Your Word that all things exist and they continue to sustain. And Father, we are thankful that You have granted us life today. But we know that we're not promised anything beyond the present moment. We know that we are a fleeting mist, a vanishing vapor. We pray that You would give us the strength to live today in just that way. Help us, Father, to magnify Your name, to do what is right without waiting, to let You be Lord of our lives right now. And Father, I pray that we will acknowledge You and glorify You and recognize You in every aspect of our life. Help us tonight as we open up Your Word that we might have understanding, not only understanding, but we might be motivated to live in a different way, because we've learned that You are in charge and we are a vapor. Father, help us to glorify You. We love You, Father, and we thank You for loving us. Through Your Son we pray. Amen. My life as a vanishing vapor, what should it look like today? Well, if I am going to live as a vanishing vapor, then today I will remember who is really in control. If I'm going to live as a vanishing vapor, today I am going to remember who is really in control, because it's not me. When we look at James chapter 4, verse 13, because it has a similar introduction to James 5, verse 1. Notice in James 5, verse 1, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." In verse 13, there's a parallel there. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Most folks tend to believe that James is talking to similar folks. He's talking to wealthy people. I don't know if he's talking to the rich here in James chapter 4 and verse 13, but he's certainly talking to businessmen. He's talking to folks who have the idea that they're going to make their business trips and they're going to go here and they're going to go there and they're going to make a profit. And basically, they think they're going to be in control. They've got their life mapped out. They know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year. They've got it all planned out. They know they're going to go here. They know they're going to buy this and trade that and sell this and buy that. And they're going to make this profit and everything's going to work out exactly as they have planned. But James says that all such boasting is arrogance. You see, the thing that they need to understand is that they are not in control. We are not in control. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 explains it this way. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Yes, we have our plans, and we're certain that our plans are going to work out in a certain way, but we need to understand that we don't establish our steps. We may make those plans, we may want it to go a certain way, but it's the Lord who decides how things are going to go. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a story that illustrated this principle. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, "He told him a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have done well. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You see, here was this rich man who thought he had it under control. He had his plans. He knew how it was going to work out, and he knew how he was going to be satisfied and relaxed. And yet he had no idea that that very night his soul was going to be required from him. And all those plans gone. You know, there's two sides to this concept of understanding who's really in control. The first side is recognizing I'm not in control. Oh, certainly I have my plans, and there's a place for plans. But I understand I'm not in control. I can't make the things I want to happen happen. And I can't make all the other people who are involved in my potential plans act the way I want them to act, can I? You know that serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I've got to learn. I am not in control. But the other side of that is that God is. God is in control. And isn't that great? Because the one who is in control is good. He is mature enough to handle the responsibility of being in control. He's the one that can see the end from the beginning. He's the one that can grasp the big picture of everybody in the world together. He is the one that can make sure it all turns out to His glory and for our good in the end. Much of James parallels the Sermon on the Mount. This passage in James goes along with Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What Jesus said is, look, God is in control, and God is taking care of His people. You know, the good thing we need to understand is that the one who is in control will take care of us. And so we don't have to have that anxiety of feeling like we're the ones that have to control everything. I'm a vanishing vapor. If I'm going to live as a vanishing vapor, then today I'm going to remember who is really in control. And I'll quit trying to take his job away from him. When I live as a vanishing vapor, what James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 teaches is that today I will acknowledge the Lord. Not only will I remember that the Lord is the one that's in control, I will profess that. I will acknowledge it. Here in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, these businessmen, they didn't recognize the control of God. They didn't even recognize God's involvement. So when they thought about their plans, all they could think about is what they were going to do. And so all they acknowledged was what they were going to do. We're going to travel here. We're going to go there. We're going to buy this. We're going to sell that. We're going to make this much money. And all they could acknowledge was themselves. But what James said they needed to say is, if the Lord is willing. They needed to acknowledge the Lord's involvement in their lives. We need to learn to acknowledge the Lord's involvement in our lives. Again, in Proverbs chapter 3, this time in verse 6, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, the proverbialist said, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Remember, the plans are in the hearts of man, but it's the Lord who establishes the path. If we want the Lord to establish our path in a straight way, if we want a straight path, then we've got to start acknowledging Him. We've got to recognize His involvement in our lives. When we have blessings, we need to give thanks to Him, acknowledging how He has blessed us. When we've had successes, we need to give the glory to God. When we've had failures, we need to look to find the Lord's discipline and what we can learn from that, to grow from that. But we need to give acknowledgement to God and recognize that where we are is not because of how amazing we are, but because of the grace of God and how it has benefited us. We're breathing today because God is the one who put oxygen here. We need to remember that. We need to acknowledge Him in every aspect of our lives. If you got to eat today, it wasn't because you're so awesome at working and budgeting and buying food. It's because God has given you those abilities and provided that blessing for you. And you need to give thanks to God. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways today. If I am going to live as a vanishing vapor, I'm going to remember who's in control and I'm going to acknowledge. I'm going to publicly profess to myself, my family, and others around me that God is the reason for where we are, for what's going on, for the successes. I'm going to acknowledge His involvement in my day today. But not only am I going to acknowledge Him, not only am I going to remember who's in control, but if today I'm going to live as a vanishing vapor, I'm going to live in the present. There in James chapter 4, the problem here is these guys are saying, hey, today or tomorrow, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to spend a year. Here's what's going to happen in the next year. But what James says is, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Now, don't misunderstand, there is a place for planning. Now, we often say, without thinking about it too much, that we ought to live every day like it's our last. You realize if you really lived every day like it's your last, you'd be in big trouble. I mean, you really would. Because frankly, if I were going to live tomorrow like it was my last day, I'm not writing any more sermons. And if we get to Sunday, y'all are going to be a little bit upset at me, aren't you? So when we say that, live every day like it's your last, we need to remember what we mean by that. There is a place for planning. Come tomorrow, I got to start planning for what's going to happen next Sunday. And so there is a place for planning. But the problem is that too many of us live too much in the future in negative ways. It happens in two different ways. The first way it happens is that there's some folks that are so frustrated with today that all they do is live in these fantasies and dreams about how tomorrow is just going to be different. And they're so focused on, well, you know, this year and next year, and come January 1st, when January 1st gets here, then I'll go on a diet. As if January 1st is going to be different from December 11th for some reason. January 1st gets here, I'll start getting another job and I'll make more money. It's almost as if we have this idea that just because the calendar wraps over, things just change. And they spend so much time fantasizing what their future could be like if everything around them just changed, that they don't ever live in today in a way that'll make tomorrow any different from today. You understand what I'm saying there? We spend so much time just fantasizing that things will change all on their own and living in that dream world that we don't live today in a way that'll make tomorrow any different. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't spend all your time living in the fantasy world that somehow tomorrow by itself is just going to change things. You got to live today. You got to live in the moment, taking the opportunities that are here now. Otherwise, tomorrow is not going to be any different from today. But then there's another side of this. There are those who live in that fantasy dream world of how wonderful it'll be, but then there's others who live in that kind of nightmarish world of how awful it's going to be. And something seems to go a little bit wrong today, and they begin to awfulize what's going to happen over the next month. Elaine wanted me to change that in the outline when she read it this week, but I think that's a perfect word. Awfulize. She said, how do I know you spelled it right? I said, I can spell it however I want to. I made it up. I can put a silent Q in there if I want to. But what folks do, a friend of mine made that up actually, they awfulize everything. Oh, ain't it awful? It's so terrible. You know, some little financial hiccup comes up and all of a sudden they know that 6 months from now they're going to be living under the bridge in their car that's broke down. Or there's a little bit of a tiff between them and their spouse and they know that all of a sudden the marriage is going to end in divorce. It's going to be awful. I'm going to be alone and rejected and isolated. It's terrible. My kids are going to abandon me. Oh, it's going to be awful. And they play that tape out about how awful everything is going to be down the road so that they don't ever do anything today about what's going on. In Matthew chapter 6, that passage we said was parallel to the James passage. Did you notice what it said in verse 34? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says, look, don't spend all your time worrying about what's going to happen in January. You know, the fact is, you're a vanishing vapor. You may not even be here in January. Have you thought about that? How awful you thought it's going to be next year if you're having some troubles? You may not even be here next year. And you're spending all this time letting what might happen next year make today an awful day. Why not just count the blessings you have today and live there? If you get to January, count the blessings you have then. If something real awful comes upon you, and it will sometime, God will give you the grace to make it through that. But there's no sense in letting tomorrow and the possible problems that will come up tomorrow ruin today. Instead, I need to learn to live today. I'm a vanishing vapor.
You know, the sad thing is that so often we get so scared about what might come in the future that we get paralyzed and we end up acting some way today that causes the very thing we were afraid of. When if we had just done what was right today, just let today's anxiety be enough, then that future wouldn't have happened. You know, I'm a vanishing vapor. What I need to learn to do is live today. I can't do anything about the past. It's gone. I can't change it. I can't do anything about the future. It hadn't gotten here yet. I can't reach it. The only thing I can impact is what I do right now. I'm a vanishing vapor. I need to learn to live right now in the moment God has blessed us with. My life as a vanishing vapor means that today I will do what the Lord wills. There in James chapter 4, James introduced a phrase that has become almost trite for Christians today. Yet we need to recognize how powerful it is. He says that these folks who had all these plans about what would happen today or tomorrow, he said, you know, what they need to be saying is, if the Lord wills. We need to recognize that that concept of if the Lord wills is more than just resigning ourselves to His control. Well, you know, if God's going to let me, this is what I want, and it'd be really great if God would let me. No, that's not what that should mean to us. What that should mean to us is, I want what the Lord wants. I want what the Lord wants more than what I want. And so here's what my plans are. But you know what? More than that, I want what the Lord wants. And so if the Lord wills, this is what I'm going to do. But if the Lord wills something else, I'll do that because I want what the Lord wants. And so today, what am I going to do? I'm going to follow the Lord's will. No matter how it's going to impact what my plans are for me, I'm just going to do what God says. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" When Jesus is our Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to do what He says. Because He is the Master. Again, there in Matthew chapter 6, you remember what it said in verse 33? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, what it says is that instead of worrying about all these things, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, says, I need to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And then all those things will be added to me. What do I need to be focused on today? I need to be focused on the Lord's will. I need to be focused on seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Acknowledging Him as Lord. Letting Him be in control. And then He's going to take care of me. I'm a vanishing vapor. I can't extend my life if I wanted to. I can't be in control. So instead, why not just let God be in control and just do what He says? And then He will take care of me. My life as a vanishing vapor means that today I'm going to do what is right without procrastinating. Today I'm going to do what is right without procrastinating. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James said, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." But keep in mind the context of this paragraph. He's talking about these plans for today and tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go off and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then he says, but my life is a vapor. It's a mist. It's fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So when he says, for him who knows what is right and fails to do it, for him it's sin, he's not saying, well, if you eventually get around to it, make sure you get around to doing the right thing someday. What he's saying is, if you know the right thing to do today and you don't do it, for you it is a sin because you don't know that you'll have tomorrow to do it. Your life is a vanishing vapor. Don't put off till tomorrow what God has asked you to do today. You don't know that you're going to have that opportunity to do that thing. In Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 27 and 28. The proverbialist said, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again tomorrow, I'll give it,' when you have it with you." Take care of it right now, he says. When you can do good, when you can do the right thing, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. You're a vanishing vapor. You may not have another opportunity to do it. You've got to do it now. Don't procrastinate the right thing. Do it immediately. Oh, I'm not saying that you're not allowed any procrastination. You know, I mean, if you want to put off something that doesn't have to do with right or wrong, I don't care. I just have to throw that in because Elaine's mad at me for procrastinating cleaning my office. That's not a Bible principle. I can do that tomorrow if I want to. Or Tuesday or next week, that's fine. But when it comes to doing God's will, don't procrastinate. Because you may not have a chance to do it again. For him who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, now, to him it is sin. My life is a vanishing vapor. Fact is, that is our autobiography. That is what we are. We are vanishing vapors. Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 4 says of us, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. We're all living on borrowed time, whether we're 2, 25, 75, or 90. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And learning that needs to change our lives today. And as Ephesians tells us, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Our life is a vanishing vapor. What are we doing with this only moment we have that's promised us? How are you living your life as a vanishing vapor? If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? Number 214. No tears in heaven. 214, no tears in heaven. Because everyone's life is a vanishing vapor here, we've got a lot of tears down here. And it'll always be that way. And that's okay. It's right for us to be moved when the vanishing vapors around us vanish. It's good for us to be sad and to mourn, because those who are in the house of mourning take it to heart. And they learn about their own lives. And every time we hear the shocking tale of someone who has vanished from this life, we need to remember that sometime, maybe soon, that's going to be us. And that needs to change how we live today. Because if we let that change how we live today, we will get to be in the place where there are no more tears. If you want to go there, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If you know that that's what the Bible says, but you haven't done it, why not? Don't procrastinate. Your life is a vanishing vapor. You may not have another opportunity. Enter Christ right now. If we can help you, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing, No Tears in Heaven.